Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Whether liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, white, black, brown, rich, poor, when it comes to our troops, we stand united. We are proud of you. We support you. And we can never thank you enough.
Fighting for Idaho.
Most of the freshmen that I've met are, yes, they're conservative members of Congress, but not the extreme conservative. Man, I can live with that because that's where I feel like I'm coming from.
Fighting for you.
I don't think marijuana should be treated any different than beer. I mean, you could outlaw obesity.
Hey.
Boise's Mr. Right.
A little too close to home, buddy.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, joining us now, the author of The Complete Leader. Ron Price is with us, price-associates.com. We're here to talk about China and everything else, but Mr. Price, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Kevin. It's great to be here.
You know, we were talking a little off the air, very little. You and Ray and I were yapping for quite some time about your time here in the past. Tell us about working with John and Chris.
Yeah, some of my first consistent radio work was with KIDO, with John and John Duane, Chris Kelly. I think for 2 or 3 years, I would show up every Monday morning at 7:55. Mm-hmm. They said it was my job to give everybody a pump in the arm for the next week coming. So it was your daily or your weekly coach for the first 5 minutes of the week.
Well, certainly, we appreciate you coming in. What a great run they've had, and good to have you back.
Great. It's good to be here, and it's good to see you with the station.
Well, thank you. Let me hit you with this. We're always looking to lead. In your book, The Complete Leader, you know, we always hear about, you know, the intangibles of what makes someone great, whether it's a coach, whether it's a business person. How does that happen?
Well, first of all, leadership is simple and complex at the same time.
Okay.
Simple in that a leader is probably best described as a person of influence, somebody that makes a difference or influences other people. And there are three ways that a leader can influence people. First, through their position or their rank. President Obama right now is the president of our country, and he has influence because of that and that alone.
Right.
The second kind of leadership is expertise leadership. Expertise influence comes from something that you've learned or you know that can benefit other people. So when I go to my dentist, I let him take that really long needle out and stick it in my mouth only because I trust his influence. And there are other kinds of influence in the world around us as well. A lot of people would argue that one of the great gaps in President Obama's presidency is that he doesn't have the expertise. He doesn't have the experience. He hasn't been at it long enough to be able to deal with the complexity of the issues that he has to deal with. The third kind of influence is what I call inspirational influence, but it's also what you might describe as character influence. It's people follow you because they want to be like you when they grow up. There's something about you that inspires them to be their better selves. And those are the three different dimensions of influence. And leadership is simple in that it's all influence, but the working out of those things has almost infinite complexity to it because we face different roles, different responsibilities in life. The way that I influence my employees and the way that I influence my children is often very different.
Sure. You know, so for me, I always admire these coaches, you know, whether it's Nick Saban, whether it's Chip Kelly, because they seem to get it right. And sometimes you can do everything right and it still doesn't work. And I remember and you on your website, price-associates.com, you have this building success by learning from failure.
Yeah. That's a blog that just came out today. It's an interview we did with Scott Sandell, who's the head of the technology division for New Enterprise Associates. They're one of the top venture capital firms in the company. And he's been coached by one of our team members. And he points out that in venture capital work, you're spending a lot more time failing than you are succeeding. And you have to learn through that. And you're constantly trying to just improve your batting average by a little bit in order to be successful.
But most of us are defined, you know, sometimes for the rest of our lives by failure. Yet, to win, we learn more from failure than success.
Yeah, I think it's really a test of character. My son, I'm proud to say that my son was just announced this week as the Entrepreneur of the Year for Entrepreneur Magazine, and he's on the cover of the January issue.
Wow.
That's quite an experience for a parent to go through to look at that magazine and see your son on the cover. And it's not discreet.
Sure.
And when he and I talked after he saw the magazine cover, I said, Dan, There are two tests of character in life. One is the test of failures. The other is the test of success. Either way, it tests who we are, what we're made of. And I think people that rise from failure are people who had the character to be able to withstand that failure and not be defined by the failure, but instead they're defined by their character. And I said to Dan, your life is about to change dramatically once you're on the cover of an international magazine. And there are only two things that you need to know in order to survive this. The first is you need to know who you are.
Right.
The second is you need to know where you want to go so that you know when to say yes and when to say no to the other people who may want you to go somewhere else.
Right. And getting back to that issue again, we seem to, if we're smart, we go back and do a post-game analysis of why we failed.
Oh, yeah.
And learn from it.
That's the whole benefit of failure. If you don't look at it and learn from it and understand the dynamics, then you've lost the whole benefit of going through a failure.
Ron Price with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580K Audio. So talk, you know, you're very proud of what you're doing and writing this book. I mean, a lot of people like to write, and we talk to a lot of authors. What made you put this out?
Well, for a number of years in the executive coaching that I've done, I've continually come back to a set of skills that I know that leaders need to develop in varying degrees based on what position they're in. And as part of the diagnostics that we use in our coaching work, we have an instrument that comes from a company called TTI Success Insights out of Arizona. And they have 25 different competencies that we measure. One of my partners, Randy Lisk, and I decided that we would collaborate on this book so that we could create something that would outlive us and that was not just limited to our coaching clients, which it admittedly are fairly expensive engagements. We wanted to give something to a broader swath of people who aspire to leadership and especially to emerging leaders. So we built this book around the idea that there are three basic skills and one important character trait that all leaders have to develop in varying degrees.
Right.
The first is that all leaders have to be clear thinkers. We follow a leader if we know where they're going, if they're predictable, if we identify with what their vision or their strategy or their philosophy is.
What's the challenge, though, of modern-day leadership in today's overly regulated corporate world where it's all top-down and you must be a square peg in a square hole? Do you think leaders are allowed to emerge today because you have such control with these big corporations?
Well, the culture is unique in each organization. So I'd tell you that in Fortune 100 companies, and we've worked with plenty of them, some of them it's exactly the way you describe. But many of them, there are pockets where you can develop your own version of leadership. For instance, there's a Fortune 100 company. They were actually the third largest IPO on Wall Street after Facebook and Alibaba. And I've worked with their leaders in China and Japan and Vietnam and Brazil and the United States. And I found that within the context of those, the sphere of responsibility those leaders have, they have quite a bit of freedom. Of course, anytime you're a public company, the first thing you have to hit is the numbers. And
yes,
that's a little disparaging to me because the reality is the analysts only care about three things: increasing revenue, reducing costs, increasing share price. They don't care about your core values. They don't care about how much of a sense of corporate responsibility
right.
you have or anything. And that's disappointing to me. I think it's a bit out of balance with a lot of public companies. But even inside those public companies, we've found some tremendous leaders who have a lot of freedom to develop the kind of culture they want within their part of the kingdom.
I see. So let's talk about your international experience. Let's talk about China.
Yeah, so I first went to Asia in 1991. At that time, I was an executive at AIM International, mm-hmm. which is a nutrition business in Nampa. And we were growing very quickly. We quickly, in one decade, grew into eight different countries. And the first country was Taiwan. And we opened an office in Taipei. That was my first experience. In 1994, I had my first experience going to the mainland. And we were actually looking at starting a business in China at that time because we were focused on nutrition and helping people develop a better lifestyle.
Sure.
We decided not to do anything there because the only way in 1994 to do business in China was to be a partner with the government.
Isn't that still the same,
though? No, it's not the same. Today, there are three very distinct parts of the market. And this is part of what I research before I decided to do work in China over the long term. There is the state-owned enterprise, and those are the old, monolithic, huge organizations that usually don't even care about profit because they're being funded by government revenue. Second is the private-owned enterprise. That's the Chinese entrepreneur who idolizes the Western style of capitalism, and they're growing very fast. And oftentimes, we'll see a private-owned enterprise over there grow to $100 million in revenue, and there's only one leader. They're still very autocratic. And then the third group is the multinational corporations.
But isn't it tough, and sorry to interrupt you, sir, but isn't it tough here at 580KIDO to deal with the entrepreneurial spirit, the business spirit in a, you know, one-party system? It's a tough act to balance.
Well, the one thing that a friend said to me once that I thought was absolutely accurate is they said, you can say anything you want about China, and it'll be true somewhere.
Yes.
China is, when you think about 1.4 billion registered people, there are assumptions that there may be 300 million illegal aliens in China. 300, that's how many people we have in the U.S.
Right.
that are undocumented aliens in China. So you've got somewhere maybe 1.5, 1.6 billion people in a country. You're going to have so many different currents flowing. And sure, the government plays a big role. And I think you have to be very aware of the government when you're working in China. But I always remember that only 8% of the population is a member of the Communist Party.
Right, but they still run the joint.
Oh, well, they run the joint, but they run it with varying degrees of firmness. For instance, Shanghai is not really submissive to Beijing at all. Shanghai has its own autonomous district, and as long as they don't do anything that's too counter-revolutionary, Beijing leaves them alone. Shanghai is still a very international city. It's got about 22 million people today. And you don't feel that much different being in Shanghai from being in New York City or in being in London.
Right. But on the other hand, I mean, this is a country that does not teach what happened in Tiananmen Square.
No, but I can tell you that because in the work that I do, I'm working a lot with emerging leaders. So it's people in their 20s, 30s and 40s. Most all those people know, because all you have to do is have a VPN, a virtual private network, and you can see anything that's going on in the world. It's not controlled by the government.
Does that exist there?
It sure does. Matter of fact, I use it when I'm there
for two reasons. I don't want you to get in trouble with the Chinese officials that may be monitoring this broadcast.
Sure, they know what's going on because most expats have a VPN that they use so that they can participate on Facebook and have access to Google and things like that.
Right.
So a large percentage of the younger population is more aware of what's going on around the world than we're led to believe. And
right.
In fact, I remember one day I was at lunch with a group of people that were all in their 30s. And I asked them at one point, they were all almost without exception, single children because of the single child policy. And so they either lived with their parents or felt a great obligation to their parents because that's a Chinese cultural obligation. I said, if you had a chance to live today in the United States or to stay here in China and build your career in China because it's growing so fast, it's, quote, the land of opportunity. Without an exception, they all said I'd go to the U.S.
Why?
Because of freedom.
Mm.
Because they see not only the degree of freedom, but they still view the U.S. as the most prosperous country in the world, the country where you have the greatest opportunity to pursue what you want to do with your life and not be limited by outside influences. Now, today, China is a lot freer than it was 20 years ago, no doubt about it.
Right.
But it still has a long ways to go.
Well, and we'll get back to that in a minute. More with Ron Price, Kevin Miller next. Let's get you to traffic.
Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Don't forget, you can always check us out on Facebook and 580KIDO.com. Ron Price with us. Ron Price Associates talking about leadership and international relations and how we can improve our lives. And, of course, his time in China. We do have some phone calls. And, by the way, we do have some, you know, I know you're very familiar with this program and, you know, John and Chris and all. But this part, we do have some characters on this program. So, and I know they had theirs as well. So you're going to meet a couple establishment characters here, Ron. So,
I look forward to it, Kevin.
All right. We go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Bryce, I got a copy of your website on the refrigerator hinting that I want your book. It's a little spendy at $36, but hoping the wife picks me up a copy. It just reads as a great book. And I got a question for you. I've always said that for the last 10 years that the schools in America should make Chinese mandatory along with Spanish. I was wondering if you agree with that.
Well, I don't like very many things being mandatory.
I see in your book you don't.
Yeah, I do think that there's some benefit to people who have an interest in that. When you have as we were talking earlier, maybe 1.6, 1.7 million people or billion people on the face of the earth speaking Chinese, we know that it's going to have an influence on our culture eventually. And what we want to do is hold on to our values, but be willing to adapt and appreciate the versatility that we have in our society. So I don't like the idea of it being mandatory, but I think it's a great experience for anybody. And I can tell you that I'm still struggling to learn it myself.
And my second question is, what would you say to senior citizens like myself? In 2 years, I want to take a trip to China and possibly retire there. And you've been there several times. Could you expound on what the living's like there and expenses? And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Well, as is true in most places, there are some great places to live there if you're wealthy. It's a tough go in China if you don't have a lot of money. And if you think that the cost of living is lower there, it's true for locals, but it's not really true for expats or for foreigners living there. I also am very concerned. There are two things that people are very frustrated about in China right now. One is the corruption in the government. And, of course, the current president says that he's on a campaign, an anti-corruption campaign. We're not quite sure yet because he's only 2 years into his term. We're not sure if his anti-corruption campaign is really a consolidation of power where he gets rid of his rivals, or if it's a true commitment to more righteousness in the way that the government works. The second problem that has people very, very concerned there is pollution. The pollution rates in Shanghai and Beijing and a few other cities are so high that we don't have equipment in the United States to measure them. So as a senior citizen going over there to retire, unless you had some specific connection there, some specific volunteer work that you want to do or something like that, I think it'd be something that would deserve a lot of careful deliberation.
All right. Thank you very much, Liberal Steve, and safe travels to Ireland. Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, for Ron Price with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
I think George Washington said it in his farewell address in 1799, friends with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Really, you know, I'm interested in whether he knows anything about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership and America's willingness to be able to seek out the dollar and profit, corporate profits, at the expense of independence. Most people are not aware of these. They're 29 pages, allegedly, only four having to do with trade. They're going to be signed as early as the end of this year, the beginning of next year. America will effectually have lost its sovereignty through economic and political integration. This is a huge issue that most businesses don't even care about. The other thing to consider about...
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to let him answer that first part there?
No, because I can get off. And the other thing, too, is the nations are all worried about communist China. They're worried about communist China. And wondering if this is all about wielding power. Communists, it's all about wielding power. And we all know that we're going to be communists someday. I mean, everything is just headed that way. They own all of the gold. They own all of the natural resources. I mean, why are we tiptoeing around the idea in this sort of weird, political correct sort of utopian
thing? There are a lot of questions
when America is in full crisis right now.
All right. Tom Munns, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. So first of all, I am not involved in statesmanship. I'm not involved in the high finance side of China. I'm a humble, small little person who's just trying to plant seeds of concepts about leadership and especially with this group of emerging leaders, help them to think about these concepts of character and expertise and put more emphasis on those so that when people do reach positions of power, we've got somebody who's got, has something on the inside. We have somebody who stands for something, who believes in something, not just somebody who's looking for power or looking for position. I do think that it's very important for us to recognize that China, sometimes we can look at them as a friend. Other times we have to view them as an adversary. Sometimes it calls for cooperation. Other times we have to recognize that they're competitors and they play by a different set of rules than we're accustomed to.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, in our world, you're either a friend or a foe. One minute they're our great trading partner and they're buying our bonds. The next minute they're stealing our intellectual property.
Yeah, I think those are very complex issues. But I don't think that either extreme is going to work. I think the extreme of isolating ourselves from them and saying we're not going to interact with them would represent failure. And I think the extreme of saying whatever they want, we're going to give them represents failure. This is why it's so important for us to have high-quality leadership to deal with these kinds of issues and that they have to be principle-driven leaders. I completely reject Tom's idea that we're all going to end up being communists. Call me idealistic. Call me Pollyannish. But I still believe that freedom wins. And I believe that the best government is the government that's closest to the people. So in reality, I think that what I hope even in the U.S., I think we face similar challenges in the U.S., but not to the degree, not to the intensity. I think the more we can move our government to the local level where it's the people who are closest to the government who are making this, who are involved in the government's making decisions close to those people, the better quality government we have. So I know, Kevin, this is a bit of a controversial idea, but I think we should be reducing the taxes that we pay to the federal government dramatically and increasing the taxes that we pay locally so that our money's spent with people we know and that we rub shoulders with every day.
Well, and if you want to have change, as you know, sir, it's about doing it at the local level. Finally, though, let's end on a good note. We owe you coming to the Treasure Valley to our great friend David Ferdinand. How did that happen?
Yeah, Davis, as I mentioned to you off air, he's, in my mind, the epitome of friendship. Years ago, Dave came and visited me in East Lansing, Michigan, where I lived for 33 years. And we got to know each other, and he asked me if I'd do a speaking tour or two with him. At the time, he was one of the vice presidents at AIM International in Nampa. And we traveled. I remember we drove across the state of Texas and had a wonderful time together. We were in, I can't remember where we were, but some small rural area in Texas, and he got on a payphone. Do you remember what those are,
yes,
Kevin?
Sir.
He got on a payphone and hung up the phone and said, well, I just resigned. I said, what? I'm out on a speaking tour with you. You just resigned?
Mm.
And he said, yeah, he was leaving the company. Well, it took a little while, but eventually the company asked if I'd do some consulting work for them, and then they asked me to come and take an executive position, and I ended up being the president of that company and retiring in 2000, having had a wonderful career. And I really owe it all to Dave Ferdinand because he's the one that introduced me. He's the one who, in spite of all of those changes along the way, I always knew I could call Dave Ferdinand, and he would do everything in his power to help me because he's a friend.
He's a great friend. He really is.
He is a great guy.
Mr. Price, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to come back. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, and we'll find out next time how you're working with the Chinese government to turn us all communists. I told you, we have an eclectic crew here.
Yeah, well, I enjoy it. I think conversation and controversy is beneficial.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Sony Pictures has pulled the plug on the movie.
3 weeks from tonight, I will be traveling to Pyongyang, North Korea, to interview President Kim Jong-un.
After hackers threatened the 9/11 style attacks on theaters that play the film.
When the big cinema chains backed away from showing the film, Sony cancelled its release. That's been condemned from all corners. The actor Rob Lowe compared it to Britain's attempts to negotiate with Hitler. Former Speaker of the House of Representatives Newt Gingrich wrote, "With the Sony collapse, America has lost its first cyber war. This is a very, very dangerous precedent."
I mean, they've won. If the movies are being pulled, they have won.
It's censorship, you know, bowing to just kind of stupid, it sounds like unsubstantiated threats.
Jim Croce, we loved him then, we love him now. Kay Millie in the morning. Coming up, we're going to talk about plagiarism with our friend China Gum. In addition to that, your thoughts on the president in Cuba. Before we get to our friend China, we go to another person on the friendship tour, Idaho Steve with Kevin Miller. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Living the La Vida Loca.
There you go. Always good. Always good. Yeah, it was. This move has been in the works for quite a while. The president did reference, that he was going to do this. And he has been making moves. He's been doing things, you know, letting Cuba in on the Summit of the Americas this next round. That's been, one of the first times for several, for a few decades. So this is in the works.
Well, you know, why? I mean, we're rewarding a brutal dictatorship. I mean, he's better than Kennedy. He's better than Reagan. He's better than Johnson.
Yeah, that's the thing. And the president says this because sanctions have been failing. But here's the thing. Number one, Cuba has limited influence in international affairs. Think of the last time Cuba has been a serious player in international affairs. Look, they weren't even a player in the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was the Soviet Union and the United States. Castro was not involved in those negotiations. So, you know, that's one. The other is there is no line of succession. The president, everybody makes the argument, well, the Castro brothers are still in. Who's going to come in after Raul? There is no line of succession, and the economy is in terrible shape. And the fact is that if you open it up to U.S. technology, then the Cuban government is still going to control the internet, phones. You know, the Cuban government is going to maintain control over all the new goodies. So this is going to boost the regime who's going to keep the control and do very little for the people of Cuba.
Well, I always like how people are saying, hey, it's time to do business there. Hmm.
Well, who are you doing business with? Are you doing business with an actual private company? They have privatized here and there, and they did it for the same reason that Lenin did it when the Soviet Union first started getting off the ground. When a socialist economy starts failing, you go to privatization, capitalism, you get some money, and then you take control again. And that's essentially what they have done. But again, there's very few gains here. The only two things I can think of right off the top are, number one, Cuba has good relations with North Korea, and this might be a backdoor to get to North Korea. I don't know. I'm speculating. But that may be what's going on. The U.S. has been pretty soft on Cuba-North Korea relations. There's been a few things that have happened. Goods going through the Panama Canal, things like that. Senator Rubio mentioned it. And we've not done anything about it. So maybe this is a way to get to North Korea to try to ease tensions there. And the other is, if we open up relations with Cuba, then the flood of political refugees, that issue goes away. Because how can you be, a political refugee if your country can freely deal with the United States? So maybe he wants to avoid another immigration issue. I don't know.
I know, Steve. We appreciate it, brother.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. We go to our friend, businesswoman, political insider, China Gum, with us at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, China.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
You seem kind of guarded, China.
Guarded?
Why would you be guarded coming on this program?
Yes, Kevin. What are you going to throw at me? Let's do it.
Well, is that any way to greet a friend? Did you see how Idaho Steve was all happy to be with me and all this, and now you're tepid? Why is that, man?
I love that his name is Idaho Steve. It kind of makes me think that I need to come up with some better stage name.
Well, we'll work on that. We've got a lot of names. But anyway,
let's do it.
A crazy story that I saw your comments on Facebook last night about this, and it's involving a kid, a senior at Bora High School, Harmony Soto, a 17-year-old senior, the Bora Senator Editor-in-Chief decided to do something to send a message to incoming state school superintendent Sherry Ibarra, who had some issues involving plagiarism of her website with Janet Jones's website. She contacted George Prentice of the Boise Weekly, got his permission to plagiarize his article, published it, and then said, I had permission to be a plagiarist. Take that, Mrs. Ibarra.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I used to write for my high school newspaper, so I remember those days and how much fun it was to come up with ideas. There's no doubt about it. Plagiarism is lying, cheating, and stealing. It's absolutely inexcusable. it is a story that is, you know, we've gotten past already, and Ibarra took responsibility, and I thought we'd moved on. We had an election, the voters decided, but then here we are.
Well, come on, China, we're not talking politics here. We're talking, you're a parent, and thanks for letting us know you wrote for the school paper. And, that's, you know, Ray Amaya is putting that down on his guest cheat sheet here. However, I mean,
it was called the Trojan Times.
You know, China, there's a thing called the tune-out factor. Work with me. So I'm looking at your Facebook comments, and you made up a good point. Hey, I think it would have been better if Miss Soto and her mother, or Miss Soto had come up with it independent of her mom doing this. So, I mean, why do you think she did this? And again, she's a kid. We understand that, making a point. And do you think it was over the line?
Well, I don't know about that. My comments were more about, you know, hey, interesting idea, you know, that she did this to point out the importance of, you know, not plagiarizing. But then, you know, no, it didn't say anywhere in that she didn't do the hat tip to her mom. It was her mom's idea. So I thought it kind of lost something there. But it was on one of the news channels had covered the story, and it was in their video.
We're covering the news channel
right here.
We're no,
I love it.
We're no
I
potatoes here. Well, maybe we are,
I
but no, I'm looking at, I mean, this tells you that we don't have a lot of news here. It's in the paper, and yeah, Belinda Nothern, who is a spokesperson for Superintendent Ibarra, saying the accusation was a result of boilerplate language on the contact. Can I finish? Thank you. Contact page of Ibarra's contact page website written by her campaign web team, blah, blah, blah. Soto and her mother said the thing that struck out to me during the campaign was when it came out that Sherry Ibarra plagiarized her website. So you have a denial. You have this. Our friend Mr. Corbley said he's not bothered by it. I'm thinking about it. I just think it's kind of unusual that we would see this and it would be that big of a deal. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And coming from that world, I know that you buy web templates because they're cheap. You change some wording on it. The candidate says, here's my position. They shoot it over to their webmaster. The webmaster inserts the language, changes a couple more things, and boom, the template's up on the website. Now, I don't know if that's what happened in this case, but I certainly have sympathy for, you know, a situation like that. And yeah, absolutely.
I disagree with you. I think that if you are running for an office, especially in education, you gotta have the grammar police. You gotta have this, especially what happened to Vaughn Ward. You gotta be sensitive to those things. You can't just throw something up. But that's not the issue I want to talk about here. The issue is where the young lady decided to prove a point. Apparently, she and her mom got together to do this. I guess since you're not going to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go, who's the kid to point out this to the state school superintendent? And does the state school superintendent have liability because she allowed this to happen? It's easy to ask you those questions, China, but, I mean, the answers are kind of tough.
Well, look, if it was the kid's idea, I think it's a great idea. That's, you know, good for her to write that in the school newspaper and have that idea and go for it. And I love that part. But then it wasn't her idea. It was her mother's idea. But whatever.
You did say that on Facebook. Hey, it seems to lose some credibility that it was her mother's idea.
Well, yeah, she didn't give the hat tip to her mom, so it cracked me up. You know, I thought it was kind of funny. It was like it wasn't her idea. It was her mother's idea. She didn't say it was her mom's idea. She passed it off as her own. So I thought that was kind of funny. I just think that there's a bigger issue that I'm still really upset about. Every time somebody picks on Sherry Ibarra, it just takes me back to how nobody covered the race. The media did not cover the race.
Well, there weren't any debates to cover.
Well, but the candidates weren't vetted. They absolutely weren't vetted in the primary. And now we know that the Republicans are going to win the general election no matter what. That goes back to we need to let the voters have an opportunity to vet the candidates in the primary. And now, look, Sherry Ibarra won. She's our state superintendent of schools. Do we need to keep picking on her? Do we need, you know, from
who's wait a minute. Who's picking on her? A high school senior? If you can't take the heat from a high school senior, get out of the kitchen.
If it were only the high school senior, I'm sure it would be okay. But it's not. It's her mom. It was her mom's idea. And then
she got a lot of run with it, China. She got a lot of run with it. So,
right.
You know, I think just you and I sitting here having a hot chocolate or a cup of coffee or whatever in the morning over the kitchen table, you know, I'm wondering, is it a valid point or a cheap shot? And maybe we'll just leave it up to the folks. But you tell the truth. I mean, is it a valid point or a cheap shot? I think that's the question.
I think that unless, you know, and from one natural blonde to another, she needs to dye her hair, okay?
What?
Because these
Who?
Cheap shots, these are going to keep happening.
Who needs she to dye her hair?
We're going to let it down.
Who needs to dye her hair?
Sherry Ibarra.
I thought you were talking about me.
You need to dye yours, too.
If I had any to dye. China, if people want to get a hold of you for marketing or consulting, what can they do?
Inside Baseball Public Affairs on Facebook.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, and thank you for waking up this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. That's our friend China Gum. I was listening to her or reading her comments on Facebook. This story, you know, what do you make of it? You have a high school senior, editor of the school paper. She and her mom say, hey, the state school superintendent has this issue. The state school superintendent spokesman says, hey, these things happen with templates. Whether you like Sherry Ibarra or not, she has been thoroughly put through the ringer, including going back to her personal life in the paper, which I don't know what that has to do with whether or not you're a good state school superintendent or not. Regardless, she's there. Is it appropriate for a kid to take a shot at the leader of the state's school system? 580-5436. 580-5436. Do mistakes happen, or is this a cheap shot? Let's get you to work.
Semzy, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We'll just let this roll for a minute, Ray. You know, this was when Mariah Carey was nice and good and the wholesome Mariah. Oh, the good old days. Hey, Kevin Miller in the morning. And by the way, there was somebody's grandmother yesterday that a buddy of mine went to go speak in a fifth grade class. And Granny, you know who I'm talking about. I know it's you that said she listens every day and just yells at me on the radio. Well, I'm yelling back at you, Grandma. What am I talking about? Well, I'm sure Grandmama knows. 7:58, Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO. What's the fun of having a radio program that you listen to? If you can't yell at it. See what I do with the television. Just ask Mrs. Miller. 7:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, the latest on Cuba, the latest on the interview, the latest on you with me. Keep it here. Stay informed. 580 KIDO. Serving.